Be live in a second, and we're live. This is the Captain's Log with Ahmed Ahmed.
Hey,
thanks, buddy. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All the way from Malaysia.
Yes,
that must be amazing. So, you could scroll down and do that little side now. Share, yeah. When you're done with your little happy dance.
Happy to see you, pal.
It's a good time. It really is. I appreciate you reaching out to me. All the way from
here we are
Malaysia.
So share, right?
When you hit the share button, and then you can show your people that you're actually in the U.S., right?
Yes.
Because you've been in Malaysia for 3 years.
A year. I moved to Malaysia January last year.
Just over a year. Yeah. Feels like 3 years.
It does kind of. I kind of feel like I got stuck in time when I moved to Asia.
Is that because things move differently out there, or
well, it's a little bit of a slower culture.
It is,
you know, things just don't
what
move
about the
as
technology
quickly. Technology is just it's the same. I just think because it's, you have to remember, it's also a very hot and humid country.
Yeah,
so people like tend to not want to work as hard just because it's so hot. Like, you think Florida is hot and humid?
What's the average temp?
Nothing. Man, on any given day, like...
You might have to talk a little louder. We're not mic'd.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me, everybody?
Yes.
On any given day in Malaysia, it can get up to 100 degrees. And then 100%...
But it's humid, right?
100% humidity.
Oh.
So you just walk outside, poof, you're just sweating.
Instantly.
And which sucks, because then you have to go to a place where you have to look presentable and you're like dripping sweat.
Right.
The good news is they have air conditioning everywhere you go.
So. There is. So it's not like you're in like little rickshaws running around.
No, it's not. It's not Thailand.
Yeah.
It's not Bangkok.
It's not.
No.
But it's like all, everything is the same as we have here, or what?
Yeah, I mean, Malaysia, for many years, it was considered a third world country.
Okay.
Now it's being called a developing country.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2020, I'm just going to tag you on that.
Okay.
In 2020, it's going to be announced a...
This is good for the show.
Sorry.
This is good for the show. I like the extra
pause. Did you share that already?
I did.
Oh, I was going to share it to both my fingers.
You can do it the other one now.
Can I do it now?
Yeah, you can't do it at the same time anyway.
Oh, okay.
So we have to do one at a time.
Oh, okay.
And very interesting. I kind of want to go out there because I did do Hong Kong and China and stuff, but I didn't spend enough time that I got to live the culture and everything else.
I think you would like Asia, well, Malaysia specifically, but as I was mentioning earlier, you know, you have 45 minutes away, Singapore, Thailand, you know, hour and 20 minutes, Philippines, Cambodia, Hong Kong, Japan is a 6-hour flight. It's like all kind of right there.
With a lot of U.S. influence?
A lot. Like, you can honestly feel like you're in Times Square in New York City when you're in the downtown part of Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
It's, you know, skyscrapers, you know, nice fine dining restaurants, speakeasy bars, you know, lounges.
Strip clubs?
Fast food. There aren't any strip clubs.
Really?
But they do have these kind of, I don't know what you call them.
Do they have karaoke bars?
They do have karaoke.
Ah.
I actually found...
Where there's very little karaoke going on in those bars?
No, they have. They actually do have, like, you know, the proper karaoke rooms where you get a room and... just you and your friends in like the little sort of box.
And do they have the little geisha girls come out?
Well, some of the nightclubs do.
Yes.
But they don't have any strip clubs, but they have this, and I've never been to it, but there's a couple of these places where you like, you go in and you like have to buy a woman a rose, and then she'll come and sit on your lap and have a drink, and it's like that kind of thing. I haven't done that.
Yeah.
But I've driven past this establishment a couple times. But, you know, there's also... and again, this exists all over the world, but you know, there's quite a bit of prostitution.
Okay.
You know,
but it's not legal.
No, I mean, Asia, it's kind of all over Asia, but you know, they have like their massage parlors and their like whatever,
right?
Dodgy happy ending spots,
sure,
and that kind
sure.
of thing. But But no, no strip clubs. But great nightlife scene. The company I work for, LOL Events, there's like the leading comedy events company in Malaysia. And so they've hosted everybody. Kevin Hart, Margaret Cho, yeah. Russell Peters, Jeff Dunham, Fluffy.
And the people know these acts from the internet, obviously.
Yeah, so...
Is the TV very similar to our TV, or is it completely different?
So they have local station. It's called Astro. The local station does, local Malaysia content.
Mm-hmm.
So their language there is Bahasa. So they'll speak... have a lot of programming in that sense, the Bahasa.
Yeah.
But they're trying to cross over into more American content. That's kind of why I moved there, was to kind of help develop the content creation side of the company.
Yeah.
Film, television, that kind of thing.
Do they like us in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of U.S. influence in Malaysia, you know.
So are you cooler if you're from the U.S. and you're over there? Do they like that?
I don't think people really give that much of a shit about it.
Okay.
But they do like American brands.
They do.
So anything that's like, that was started in the West that caught on.
Right.
Will take off in Malaysia. Everything from like clothes to food, pop culture, music.
They just gravitate towards it. They love that.
Yeah, like Guns N' Roses was just there last year.
Okay.
Like for the third time.
Right.
And like, who would have ever thought
Guns N' Roses? Wanted some Sweet Child of Mine.
Right.
Right? A little extra.
And they're performing. It was raining too. Like they were outdoors and people were just like, yeah, you know, Paradise City.
That's fun. That's a good time though.
But I think you'd love it, man. It's, I do miss my family and friends in the U.S., but I'm just digging Asia right now.
Cool.
I wrote this new hour of material. I'm going to try it all this
weekend.
Speaking
of your new material, you're performing this weekend at Off the Hook Comedy Club.
Yes.
Get tickets at offthehookcomedy.com.
Yes.
They can find you on Instagram at Ahmed Ahmed.
It's at Ahmed Comedy, A-H-M-E-D Comedy. That's also my Twitter handle.
Tell me about the first time you hopped on stage. What was that like? How did you know you wanted to be a comedian?
Well, I actually started out as an actor.
Okay.
I was always funny as a kid, cracking jokes. I would do like school plays, and I was considered like the class clown in school. And I was never the guy who would put like a tack on the teacher's desk or chair. I wasn't that guy.
You weren't the prankster.
I wasn't the prankster.
You were just a funny dude.
I was just a funny guy. I'd be in the corner like cracking jokes and get people to laugh. And I was always in the detention room with that. But I never took it seriously. You were the same guy.
Yeah.
I never took it seriously though. And then like the comedy side of it. And then I grew up watching a lot of, like, dramatic films. So I was like, you know, Robert De Niro, Clint Eastwood, Denzel Washington, you know, all these dramatic actors.
And those were your heroes?
They fascinated me because I was like, you know, they were just such a great screen presence. And I was literally living in movie theaters. You know, remember the days where you'd go buy a ticket for one movie and then you sneak into, like, 10 other movies?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd spend 10 hours at the movie theater.
Really? I did that, like, once in my life.
I did it almost every weekend. I did it to escape from my house because I didn't like being home.
Okay.
I had like strict parents.
I probably didn't do it because I never had that much time. Oh, I was running from one athletic event to the next, to the next, to the next.
Yeah, I wasn't that active when I was a kid. But I was active, but I wasn't in sports and stuff.
How do I say? Hiram? He's a comedian, right?
Hiram Rios.
He's a comedian. Yeah, Hiram. Yeah. Jennifer, Alan. What's up, guys?
Alan, what's up, everybody?
Welcome to the
Jennifer,
Captain's Log.
How you doing?
Say hi to Ahmed.
If you guys are in Naples, come to the shows this weekend.
Yeah, we got a great show coming your way. Two tonight, two tomorrow, and one Sunday, Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah, Mother's Day celebration.
It's a good show.
Come laugh with us on Mother's Day.
You got to bring your mom out. Hang out with us. So you are telling me so far haven't answered my question.
Oh yeah. So
who's more AD, me or you?
I think together we have.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's
ADHD.
Good. Yes, I agree.
I moved to Hollywood when I was 19.
Yep.
I started working as an actor. I played a lot of terrorists in a lot of movies.
Shocking.
Shocking.
Yeah.
So I was in Executive Decision, where I played terrorist number 4. I was in the first Iron Man movie.
Yeah, you
were. I helped kickstart the Marvel Universe. You're welcome. But then they killed me, so there's that.
Right.
But that was fun. And then, so I just, I, the problem with Hollywood is that you don't get a lot of opportunities to play other parts other than what you're stereotyped as.
Right. Once they cast you kind of that way.
That's it. Unless you are lucky enough to do
unless
a part
like
in a
Matt
movie.
Damon or...
Yeah, like you write your own ticket. You know, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, they wrote Good Will Hunting, they won an Oscar, then they could do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of got to get kissed into the party, you know, in Hollywood. And I just never really did. They wanted me to change my name. I didn't want to do it. Anyway, fast forward. I quit acting. I ran out of money. I actually slept.
Very typical.
Very typical. I slept
Hollywood
on,
dream.
Hollywood dream. I slept on my old buddy Vince Vaughn's couch for about a year.
He's kind of famous.
He's a little famous. Yeah. You probably heard of him.
How'd you get hooked up with Vince Vaughn to sleep on his couch?
So we met...
You can't just jump into that.
No. Well, I met him before he was famous.
Okay.
We did an after... Well, not we. I was an extra in an after-school special that he was the co-star in.
Okay.
And we met on that thing. And you know, do you know the actor Peter Billingsley?
I know the name,
He used
yes.
to be an actor.
Yes.
Now he's a producer, director.
Okay, right.
He was Ralphie in A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah.
So he produces... Now he produces all of Vince Vaughn's movies and runs his production company. But he was the star of this after-school special at the time. Vince played the best friend. It was a story about this young kid nerd who wanted to impress this girl, but she only dated jocks.
Right.
So he joined the track team, but he wasn't fast enough, so he took steroids.
Okay.
And then Vince Vaughn was the friend who's like, don't do drugs, I'm going to tell the coach.
And this was an after-school special.
After-school special, and I was
did
an
extra.
Do
they still do after-school specials?
CBS School Break Special, I think they call them now.
Really?
I don't know. I remember back in the day, I used to run
after
home.
After-school special for that age is probably a 30-second clip.
Yeah.
That's and they watch six of them, and they're done.
Right. They're almost like a webisode.
Right.
So then we met. I was an extra. I played one of the guys on the track team who... When I found out Peter's character took steroids, I kind of like...
Is this leading up to telling me how the hell you became a comic?
So this is how I met... So yeah, so okay, when I started out as an actor... Because you asked me how I met Vince.
Yes,
so that's
this
how
is
I
true.
Met. So we met, we became friends. I started taking acting classes. And then the first part of the story, me doing all the terrorist parts and all that. Then I got sick of it. I ran out of money. Vince offered me his couch.
Yep.
At this point, he had already...
That was cool of him.
Yeah, he had just done the movie Swingers.
Yeah.
And then he launched into stardom right after that. And he was traveling around the world filming movies. So he was like, hey, just stay at my place while I'm gone. And he's always super nice and supportive. And such a smart, funny, awesome businessman. And just cool friend. And then I started waiting tables at Kevin Costner's restaurant, actually.
Okay.
He used to own a restaurant called Twin Palms in Pasadena.
That must have been like the cool place if you were an aspiring actor to Dude, work at his place.
This was when Kevin Costner was like at the top of his
yeah.
game. And so he opened this like beautiful 500 seat indoor outdoor country.
Because he had needed a tax break.
He needed a tax break.
He needed
break.
To lose more money.
He needed to lose more money. So he opened this restaurant with his wife. Him and Cindy Costner owned it. And I was the head waiter there. For
okay.
a year. And I was making a lot of money as a waiter because I was making my customers laugh.
Of course.
And I thought, why don't I just get rid of the food and just do the funny? And so that's kind of how it all started. I made a lot of money as a waiter, and I was just like, you know what? Let me just try stand-up. And I did one night. I went up on stage in front of 40 comics and did an open mic, and I killed. Which is not typical. And then I bombed. For like
that's
the next
normal,
2 years.
Right.
Because I thought it was so good. And
yeah.
I didn't realize, oh, this is a craft. You have to take it seriously
right.
and write jokes and know your timing and cadence.
Yeah, the stars can't align every night you get on stage. You actually have that material.
Bro, I bombed just the other night at an open mic night. Kind of on accident, too. I was at the Comedy Inn in Miami, killing every night. Awesome shows. And then I go to this open mic on a Monday just to like, just to see what was up in downtown
yeah.
Miami, and I ate it so bad. But it felt good. It was,
yeah,
it was
sure.
like a humbling experience.
Right.
It grounded
me. Well,
because comics,
you work
you
on new material. Sometimes that's why you work on it.
You gotta fail to succeed.
Yeah.
Right? So I started doing stand-up. I got pretty good at it. I started running comedy rooms because I couldn't get booked at the major comedy clubs.
Right.
So I just started, I started this room called Dublin's with a guy named Jay Davis.
Yeah, I know Jay well.
So now he books, he's the vice VP of talent at the Laugh Factory now.
Yeah.
So him and I started a room in Hollywood at a place called Dublin's. Remember Bubbling at Dublin?
Yep, Jay-Z? Yep.
Every Tuesday night, rain or shine, Dane Cook, Dave Chappelle, Joe Rogan,
six
Carlos
shows.
Mincy, like because we were right in between the Laugh Factory and right. the Comedy Store, so we were the hub for like cool, and we had like celebrities would come every week, hot chicks, librarians.
How long has
doctors.
Jay had that title at the Laugh Factory these days?
About just over a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he's the head, you know. He's booking all the talent with Laugh Factory now. But,
that's great.
So we started that room. One night, who you know very well, Pauly Shore
yep.
came in. Pauly Shore came in with like five hot Playboy playmates. And he was like, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Hasn't changed.
Hey, buddy.
Hasn't changed a bit.
He's like, hey, why don't you guys come in? Well, we said, hey, do you want to go on stage? And he said, sure. He went up on stage. He killed it. He came out. What's up, Dougie? What's up?
Hey,
Alan.
Alan, what's going on?
So, Pauly goes on stage. He has a great set. He comes off stage, and he's like, why don't you guys come to my mom's club and do a night there at the Comedy Store, Mitzi Shore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we did. We called the show Rock Comedy.
Okay.
Jay hosted. I would throw myself up in the lineup every week. We took the best of the best from Dublin's and put them on at the Comedy Store. So
yep.
it was Sam Tripoli, Bret Ernst, Sebastian Maniscalco.
All great comics.
You know, murderers, right?
Right.
And then Mitzi Shore was in the room one night, and she caught my set, and she came up to me afterwards, and she said, hey, you're very funny. That's the way she talks.
Yeah.
Hey, you're very funny. I said, thanks. She said, are you Arabic? I said, Arabic? Yeah. No, yeah. She goes, oh, from where? I said, I'm from Egypt. She goes, oh, you know, we used to be your slaves. And then she walked away, and I was like, oof.
Right.
That wasn't good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got a call the next day, and they're like, she wants to make you a paid regular.
That's it. Boom.
So I was like, oh, now I work for you.
That was great.
And so that's how I got at the Comedy Store. Then I eventually got at the Laugh Factory and the Improv, and I started to kind of make my way around the comedy scene. And then I ended up touring the world. I got on a sitcom with Steve Byrne,
right.
Vince Vaughn, producer,
yep.
and Peter Billingsley, Sullivan and Son. And then, you know, I just kind of made my way around Hollywood for 20 plus years and...
Been touring.
Touring.
Playing all the comedy clubs in the country.
Playing all the comedy clubs. Like, you know, I'm really lucky to like have established some great relationships with, you know, awesome people like yourself. Not everybody wants to book a comic through a comic. They want to go through an agent
sure.
or a manager. And I was shocked how many club bookers were like, yeah, have your agent call me. Or, you know, it's just like, okay, well, I can talk to you.
Right.
You know?
Well, it goes the opposite way, too, when you reach out to a comic and they're like, hey, talk to my agent.
Talk to my agent. And then you have to jump through all those hoops.
Yeah.
I guess it goes both ways.
So it does go both ways. Well, guys, my guest, Ahmed, going to be at Off the Hook Comedy Club this weekend. This is the Captain's Log. Thanks for watching. Hey, Keith, before I say goodbye, I want to say hello. I'll see everybody
What's
tomorrow
up, guys?
At the
T-Bone.
Great
my buddy
City
from Dubai.
Dock Canoe Races. Hey, T-Bone in the house. What's up from Dubai? Honey, how are you?
Hey, guys.
Anyway, guys, we are out. I will be live tomorrow from the canoe races in Naples, Florida. I love you guys the most. We're back.
Thanks, brother.
See you tomorrow.
Cheers.
We're out.